This is the second Sunday in Advent. Do you remember why we are taking time together around the Advent wreath?
To remember that Advent is a time of getting ready. We are getting our hearts ready to remember the coming of baby Jesus. Today we light two purple candles.
The last time we lit the candle of hope.
I will light another candle today on the second Sunday in Advent to remember us that Jesus came to earth to show and tell us of God's love.
During Advent, we remember again God's gift of Jesus to the world, and we know that God's love for all people is the reason for this gift.
Love comes at Christmas in Jesus.
You may be seated.
Ho, 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 ho. Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas. Ethan and I watched the Polar Express last night, which parts are kind of creepy. You know, really, when you watch it, I mean, the guy who rides along on top of the train, I was like, I even said a quote that my family didn't even recognize before. It was the other day, And when he comes up with a ticket, and he says, the kid says, "I'm looking for a girl." You know, what does the guy say? "Aren't we all?" "Aren't we all?" I'm missing my prizes. I brought prizes. Dave, you just won a prize. Here they are. Dave. You won a prize. Yeah. Wild at Heart. Great book. Great book. So look at these things, because our services are so packed that we don't have time to really do a bunch of announcements. Remember that on Wednesday, come here at 10 a.m. if you're able. Come and help put together the Thanksgiving baskets. They're not really Thanksgiving baskets. We raise the money for them as thank you baskets to now deliver. So usually from 10 to 12, 10 o'clock, right, Reg? Yeah. And then if you can, take a few to deliver. That is the coolest thing, that when you get to drop them off and say, "Hey, you know, we're with you. Our church is thinking about you and for you, and we want to encourage you. So here you go." You can say Merry Christmas, because we say Merry Christmas sometimes, but if you want, you can say Happy Holidays. Those greetings are nothing that Jesus would have ever thought about. I just can't imagine, people being like, Jesus being like, "What? It's Merry Christmas!" Wouldn't happen. So, but anyway, Wednesday. So, this morning, why are we here?
We are here to remind ourselves that Christmas is more than shopping, busyness, expectations. We are here to slow down in the middle of the gifts, our traditions, our plans. We are here to remember God's plan, that He left His throne, and on a silent night in a dirty manger, He changed everything. We are here because Christmas means God deeply loves us and provided a way for us to be with Him. We are here because the great gift of hope, of joy, of peace, and of love was given to us. That's why we celebrate. That's why we sing. That's why we are here.
In case anybody was confused, why we're here, what is all of this stuff about? And we're doing a series right now called Christmas in the Carols. Christmas in the Carols. And using carols, last week, We learned a specific phrase out of the song we sang last week, and I want to see if anybody remembers the three words that were the focus of last week. What was it? Thrill of hope. You just won a book. Yeah. Another great book that we oftentimes read before mission trips. And so we learned the thrill of hope that a weary world rejoices in the birth of Christ. That it represents, it's a new and glorious morn coming. So that whatever we're experiencing now, there is a thrill of hope. God changed everything. Everything. And so this morning, we're talking, oh, come all ye faithful. Oh, come all ye faithful, joyful and triumphant. We sing this song. It's a Christmas song. Originally, I think it's one of the hits. Wouldn't you say it's one of the hits? I mean, it's bigger than Santa Baby. I think it is, you know. I like it more, and it's definitely better than Dominic the Donkey, which is my favorite. Hee-haw, hee-haw. Dominic the Donkey, jiggity-jig. Hee-haw, hee-haw. Come on, Katie. Sing. Of course it is my favorite. Of course. So in about 1743, this song was written. This song was written, and I need somebody who has a small child in their life to answer this next trivia question. It was written in Latin. What was it titled? What was the title in Latin? Ed won Adeste Fidelis. All right. I think Max might be a little too old for this, but it is a good story. I think he will enjoy it. Written in Latin. Now, I took Latin in high school for 2 years. I took Latin in high school. In 1841, it was translated into English and became a hit, and it's sung. Any of you guys go to Midnight Mass? Usually this song is sung, okay? This song is sung. But in my Latin classes, 2 years worth, I learned different things that I don't know anymore. And understand this, I was the top Latin student in my high school. So much so that my Latin teacher wanted me to take, you know, those tests where you fill in the little dots and you have to take the regular one and then you pay extra to take the ones that you're really focused on. What are those called? The SATs, but I mean the ones that are really focused. You take additional tests. You might take a test where you're taking a chemistry test or science test. I forget what they were called. Anyway, they were like focused ones that you took in addition. And my Latin teacher wanted me to take one of those. I was like, wow. So what I'm saying, I'm kind of a big deal in terms of Latin. Kind of big deal. So the only thing I remember, though, is bom, bas, bot, bomus, botus, bont. Remember that? Conjugating and going through Latin. I remember Pygmalion vir Graecus est, because we read books in Latin. Pygmalion vir Graecus est. Pygmalion was a Greek man. He made very beautiful statues. I knew this about him, but I don't remember how to say he made very beautiful statues. And I remember this wonderful phrase that you might want to hold on to for Latin. Semper ubi sub ubi. Always wear underwear. It's a wrong version of wear, but, you know, it still works. Those are what I remember from Latin, but I took it so that I would have a better grasp of the English language, a better vocabulary. And now we have Generation Alpha, and my Latin isn't helping at all. For instance, Alex, yo, fam, did you see Jenna's glow up? Total slay, queen. What? Taylor says, for real, bussin', she's looks maxing like crazy. Mewing game is strong. I don't know. What? Am I already saying it wrong? It's, well, oh, you're not supposed to use your thumb. Supposed to use. I did it wrong. That's what I'm saying. Latin didn't help me. It didn't help me at all. I don't know how to speak your language. I don't know. No cap. I thought it was kind of sus at first, but she's killing it. Total influencer vibes now. You don't use what? No, sus is dead now? It was so young. It was so young. So even ChatGPT has got it wrong this morning. It's already out of date. So here's the deal. I got no riz. Sam, no? Yeah. And singing, O Come All Ye Faithful in Latin at midnight mass is a cool tradition. It might be tough to understand. And singing it in English can be tough to understand. See, there's this thing, O come, all ye faithful, joyful, and triumphant. I don't know about you, but a lot of times in my life, I don't feel like this is describing me. Really, I mean, O come, all ye faithful, joyful, and triumphant. Joyful and triumphant. I'm not always joyful. I'm not always triumphant. A lot of times I'm putting up the L. Is that right? Not the W. Do you do the signs, the W signs? That used to be a thing not too long ago. What? How do you do the W sign? We did L7 weenie. Like that? Nobody uses signs anymore. Dead. What if somebody's, you know, deaf? So they use the signs. They use the signs. But let's say, oh, come all you faithful. I might not be joyful and triumphant. I might be struggling some in some areas. But see, what I want us to know is that it's what Jesus makes us. It's what Jesus makes us. And we're going to look at that today, because this verse here, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. It's already done. It's a done deal. The new creation has come. In his view, being eternal and all of time happening at once, it's already done. It's already done. You're a new creation. The new creation has come. The old has gone. The new is here. A lot of times, I'm looking and going, I don't know if the new is really making a lot of advances. When I get stuck in some of the things, like mentally in my thought patterns, and you guys know, I've shared before, I grew up and my dad was an active alcoholic until I was about 6 or 7, and when dad finally went into recovery. He had a few lapses after that, but we still had the characteristics of the alcoholic parent. And so for me, it was a standard of perfection, because my dad didn't say, I'm proud of you. My dad didn't use those words. My dad, I knew he loved me. I knew he showed up at every one of my games, anything I was doing, even if he had to drive from a sales call in Vermont to make it to my golf match in time. I was an athlete. Golf match in time. He would be like, he would do it. He'd drive 5 hours to stand there on the first tee and then stand there on the ninth green. So I knew my dad loved me, but he didn't say, I'm proud of you. He didn't say things like, hey, great job. He always talked about how to do it a little better. A little better, do it different, a little better. This is not perfect. If I got an A minus, he'd say, why isn't it an A? So that's what I grew up with. And oftentimes in my own life, my doing things, I'll look and go, that wasn't perfect, and therefore it stinks. See, when I look and say, I'm a new creation, I know that in Christ I am a new creation, I'm loved, I'm accepted, I'm a joint heir with Jesus, I know all that, but sometimes the old me surfaces again, and I will beat myself up. And Robin will tell you, I beat myself up. Something goes wrong here, and you guys are like, bah, whatever. I go home, and I'm like, I can't believe I did that work, and I'll be working on it all week. Instead of just being like, it is what it is, okay? Nothing I could do to change it, and nobody died. We're all good, right? Right? But sometimes the old me comes back, and I don't know who your old you is. See, there's this thing that at Christmas time, when we see Christmas, that the rates of depression, anxiety, and stress increase in our society. The feelings of loneliness increase. There's even a myth that there are more suicides at this time of year. And most everybody believes that myth, but those who study things like that have found that actually, as the year goes, it dips a little bit, which I find is interesting. But there's no doubt at all that it's a tough time for a lot of people, and it might be a tough time for you. Maybe you had a loss at Christmas that you still hang on to. And so when we look and see joyful and triumphant, here's the thing. Jesus says that no matter how you feel about it, no matter how you feel with what's going on right now, you are a new creation. And that you, he sees you with the potential and what he created. He sees you through himself, spotless, without blemish. And that's why it says joyful and triumphant. So we're going to break this down today and look at it and know this song, O Come All Ye Faithful, joyful and triumphant. How can we jump off of this, see what Scripture says, and so that when we sing this, maybe we give pause to thinking about what the words say. Maybe we'll sing it rather than just going through it as a Christmas song. Like I hope all of you in what we sang last week, when you hit that, the thrill of hope verse, I hope you're like, woo! We should all just do that when we go Christmas caroling. The thrill of hope. Woo! Everybody would be like, what? Why'd they just do that? Don't do it at the nursing home. It might be bad. So, well, what is it that as we look at it, and the first thing is that Jesus helps us to become more faithful. He helps us to become more faithful. And one of my lines is not showing up here, and I don't know why. If you were watching at home or right, just imagine that at the top it says, Jesus helps us become more faithful. What do I mean? Look at this verse here. Let us from Hebrews 12, 2, when it says, we do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus, the champion who initiates and perfects our faith. That's his job. That's what he's doing in you. He's initiating it And he is bringing it about so that we look and say that Jesus is the one perfecting our faith, no matter how much we work on it. So we do this by keeping our eyes on Christ. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and protector of our faith. It's the more common version that you've heard. Now, here's the thing. Our faith does not increase if we don't fix our eyes on Jesus. Christmas time is a time of year where we have some of our annual visitors. It's the tradition. You know, we've gone through life, and every year Christmas season came, and Mom would drag us to church, and we'd sing those songs, and it feels comfortable, and we like that. But we don't grow in our faith because we're not fixing our eyes on Jesus. When we fix our eyes on Jesus, when we make him our focus, he will initiate and perfect our faith. And look at this, at what it says in Romans 10:17. So faith comes from hearing, and that is hearing the good news about Christ, is how the New Living Translation puts it. Hearing the good news of Christ. Do you think that means just once, or twice, hearing it on Christmas and Easter? No. Our faith is not really going to expand all that much if we're just popping in for a visit. Imagine playing for your basketball team in high school, and you say to your coach, "I'm good, coach. I'll just be at the games." Your coach is going to say, "What? No, you don't play for our team." Because what is it that builds your skills? Doing all of those repetitions, right? Yeah, you've got that. So when we're just visiting twice a year, coming in twice a year, it's like, that's not going to build our faith, okay? So here it is, what Jesus is doing. He's doing it in me as I follow him. His promise is he's doing it in me as I follow him. Hey, Jer, will you do me a favor and close those two back doors? Because I feel like with these hearing aids, I feel like somebody's talking in my head. People are like, "I hear voices." When people send me a text message, "I hear voices." Don't do it right now. All right. Thank you, Jer. Jesus is doing it in me as I follow him. Okay? And then when we look at the second thing, Jesus is the one who helps us be more joyful. Jesus is the one who helps us be more joyful. Look at this verse from Luke 2, 10 and 11. Familiar, right? But the angel said to them, "Don't be afraid." That's easy to say. But can you imagine? You're out on a hillside just watching your sheep, and the angel shows up. Now, I know there's the myth in those videos that show this giant creature with a million eyes and all this. Do not be afraid. We don't know. That was one representation of angels. There are other times angels appear as human beings. There are times angels appear. So that's kind of, if it was one of those giant eyeball things with wings and all, I'd be scared. But do not be afraid. Okay, I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a savior, a rescuer, someone who's going to change everything has been born to you. To you, he's been born. So when we break this down and we see, I bring you good news that will be great joy. Gospel actually means good news. Well, I ask you this, Christians. Would people who know us think that we're good news when they see us coming? Would they be like, "Oh, great, here come the Christians. We're going to have some good news." I'm like, "Woo, I want to be this good news that is great joy because a Savior was born to me, and that changed everything. So that means this little squabble over here that's been going on Facebook, and they're all complaining about the new traffic pattern and whether the lines were painted right or painted wrong, and just going off on each other all the time. I can look at that and go, I don't need to squabble about that. Because I have good news, because a Savior was born to me, that I can be joyful and triumphant. I can be joyful and winning. Joy. Jesus helps us have joy. The fruit of the Spirit is love. Joy. Joy. I want you to take out your cameras, your phones, and take a picture of this next screen. And I want you to consider this. All right, consider this, maybe. Here it is. Happiness depends on happenings, but joy depends on Jesus. Happiness depends on happenings. What's going on in your life right now is what makes you happy. But joy depends on Jesus, because we know that through Christ, we can be joyful even with a cancer diagnosis, because we can say, this is not how it is, like the end. I mean, I've got heaven, I've got all this. People would ask me, don't you believe that God is going to heal you from your liver disease? Don't you believe? I'd say, I am absolutely certain that God is going to heal me of my liver disease. And they go, oh, good, brother, because he won't if you don't believe it. And I'll say, well, here's the thing. I believe that when I get to heaven, the Bible tells me I got a new body. I don't have pain anymore. I don't have any of that. So will I be healed? Yes. Does that give me joy? Yes. Am I happy? No. No, I'm not happy right now because this hurts a lot. What I'm going through is miserable, right? But that joy depends on Jesus, because we know he is the author and perfecter of our faith, and so he's the one building it. He's the one presenting his Father. He's saying, here's one of mine, name in the book of life. People are like, you know, the ones who say, you're going to show a movie and make an account of all the things you've done in life, and so it's going to show all your secret sins and all of that. I don't believe that's true. I know Scripture talks about that we have an account for all that we have done. Do you know what that account is? I stand before him and they say, what do you present as your defense? And I present the blood of Jesus. And I say, clean, forgiven. As far as the east is from the west, forgiven, come on in, right? That's who Jesus is. Happiness depends on happenings, but joy depends on Jesus. And the third thing, Jesus actually helps us become more triumphant. What? Jesus helps us become more triumphant. Here's the truth of what happened. Whether we feel it right now or not, God changed everything. All right? God changed everything. When he says, for unto us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the greatness of his government and peace, there will be no end. I always am amazed at how we Christians go nuts every time there's an election. The other guy has been the Antichrist for as long as I've been alive. Every time there's an election, all the way back. Our guy is God's guy. That other guy, is the Antichrist. I'm like, well, really? Really? I'll look and say, God's government has no end. It's bigger than this. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice, righteousness, from that time on and forever. This is going to end. This is going to change. It's going to end. And so when I wrap myself up in the here and now and forget what God has for me, it's difficult for me to be joyful and triumphant. Right? It's difficult for me. So as our music team comes on up, you might be thinking that this joyful and triumphant stuff is not for you. It's not for you. But here's the thing. We sing this song, O Come All Ye Faithful, joyful and triumphant. Yes, because Jesus makes us that way. Jesus makes us faithful when we follow him. Jesus makes us joyful because we know it's in his hands. Jesus makes us triumphant because we might know that, hey, we just lost the third quarter, but the fourth quarter is coming, baby. And we know how it was written, and we know who won. We know. So here's the thing, if you're thinking, that's not me, though. O come, all you unfaithful. O come, all you unfaithful. Who did Jesus come for? Who did he come for? Look at these verses of Scripture. Jesus calls the weary and the burdened. That you feel weighed down? Come to me, Jesus said. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, because my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Come if you don't feel triumphant. Come if you're feeling exhausted. Come if you're feeling overwhelmed, is what Jesus said. Is what Jesus said. So Jesus calls the weary and burdened. Jesus calls the sinners. On hearing this, Jesus said, it's not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. But the sick. For I have not come to call the righteous, but the sinners. The story of this book, I know some of our senior saints get mad at me because I preach from my tablet and not the book. But a lot of times the simple answer for that is that for me I shake a lot of the medicine I take. But this book, the story of this book, when you think about it, this is a story of how humanity is consistently unfaithful to God and walks away from him. Over and over and over again, he frees the Hebrew children. They were in bondage as slaves in Egypt for 300 or 400 years. He frees them, and they go out into the desert, and they start being like, "Woo, praise God, look, we're delivered, we're this." Okay, and then Moses goes up onto the mountain, disappears for a while, and what do? They make a golden calf to pray to. Now, if you know anything about the Hebrew faith, idols is a big deal. Praying to idols is a big deal. No, we don't do that, right? And it's a story of the unfaithful. And so the Bible then says to us, as Jesus comes on, he says, come, you bruised and battered, lying on the side of the road. Come, you prodigal son. Come, you who deserve to die and are hanging next to me on a cross. Come. Come. Come, you adulterer, you cheat, you thief. Like when he stood with the woman who was naked at the wall, and the Hebrew leaders wanted to stone her because the law said, kill her when she's caught like this. And Jesus stood up for her. And then he asked her, who condemns you, woman? And she said, looked up, no one, Lord. And he said, neither do I condemn you. Go. Don't do that anymore. Don't sin anymore. Come, you who have spent your life opposing me, like Paul, Come, even if you've been a cynic, I've come to call you. Come, I've come to make you faithful. I've come to make you joyful. I've come to make you triumphant. Come, come, come young, come old, come you religious leader. You religious leader, knowing the Bible inside and out, you're an expert in the law, but you don't know me. Come, come, come everyone. Christ said, I am born for you. Come, all you unfaithful. The song that Katie is going to sing and the band is going to play, I want you to listen to it. And maybe it will speak to you. I know when I first heard it, it made me cry. You guys that know me are like, so what? AT&T commercials make you cry. But seriously, it just kind of hit me of saying that is who Christ came for. He came, and Jesus will build and perfect your faith. Jesus will become your joy. Jesus will make you triumphant. Christ is born for you. The question this Christmas for each of us is, are we going to open this gift? Are we going to receive the gift that God gave? Let him perfect our faith. Let him build our joy. Let him be our triumph. O come, all ye faithful. That's you and I through Christ. Let's stand, close in prayer, and get out and enjoy the snow. Sherry's going tobogganing. Yeah. Lord, we thank you so much for the gift of your Son in the busyness of this season. As people come and go, Lord, I pray that as we sing these songs, we might pause. That we might pause and look for the meaning that the writers had when they wrote it. That we might investigate a little. Father, I thank you for sending Jesus for each of us. In Jesus' name, amen. Have a great week, guys.